Welcome back.
And I can't help
to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Can you guys believe we've already done a whole hour? You know?
Yeah.
It's burned up. It's burned up like a cone in a bowl. Now, speaking of which, have you noticed that so many artists, creative people, are real hardcore stoners? Like, it's a daily thing, right? And have you noticed that they keep being successful, they keep getting work done, and they keep baffling people with how freaking talented they are? And yet we get told every day, pop makes you stupid, pop makes you slow, pop makes you lazy.
First of all, Vinny, I want to say thank you for your compliment. That was really sweet. I appreciate it. So you recognize my creativity and my talent like that. So that's all I wanted to say was thank you.
That was all for you, baby, all for you.
Vinny, you know those recent studies that were in New Zealand about, you know, people that are starting to use large amounts of cannabis at an early age and then they were having a lower IQ in their later age?
Yeah.
See, but the thing is, like, they, you know, like, you know, what we want is a regulated market in New Zealand for cannabis. So if people want to use cannabis and they, you know, can have some education and, you know, a medical check, and then you have a safe supply and then a support system for anybody having any problems. So the mere fact that these young people were getting large amounts of cannabis, you know, that would have been addressed with a regulated market. But also in those studies, they didn't really look at any other things that might have been affecting those young people. You know, because if they were using a lot of cannabis, you know, were they using a lot of pee as well? Were they using a lot of alcohol as well? Did they have jobs? Had they been to jail? All these other things affect your IQ as well. If you spend a long time in jail.
You know what's funny? That also there's been a study done, and Dr. Bob Melamede has come out with this, is that when you smoke cannabis before drinking, you know how when you drink, alcohol actually destroys brain cells? Well, he found that when you ingest cannabis before ingesting alcohol, the cannabinoids form a protective seal or a layer around your brain cells and prevent cell death when alcohol is introduced.
Okay, well, that's a handy one, didn't it? And I've found that people that are, you know, that are drinking a lot of alcohol, if they have a smoke before they start drinking or a smoke, you know, while they're drinking, they drink less and their behaviour is actually better.
That's right, but if they're already drunk as, having a smoke then just sends you right over the edge, sends you spinning. And there's been a lot of rumor and circumstantial evidence to say that cannabis promotes violence and things like this. And this is debunked ad infinitum, because all the people that have been violent on cannabis were drunk at the same time as well.
They forget
on something else.
Like that, when they're busy trying to fabricate evidence.
That's the difficulty. They try to blur the lines, don't they, between real hard drugs like alcohol, things that actually cause a lot of death, and cannabis, which in the 10,000 years of recorded usage, to my knowledge at least, has killed nobody. In fact, as Jack Herer once said, the author of the Hemp Bible, the only people who get killed by cannabis are people who get shot in the back by the cops running away.
Yeah, that'll be it, all right. Yeah, just about all the harm being done, you know, is being done through prohibition. It's not actually being done by the plant itself. There's practically no harm being done by the plant. And that's really outbalanced by the benefits that we would get from the plant. As we've just been discussing recently, all the major benefits, you know. So it's unbalanced.
Let's compare the benefits of cannabis to the benefits of the law. Okay, envision this. You're at home and you're watching a movie. And you're high, and it's a comedy movie, and you're laughing a lot, okay? Laughter releasing endorphins, and also you get a little bit hungry, a little bit thirsty, so you you make yourself dinner, and you also drink a bit of water, okay? Then you finish the movie, and you go to sleep. Okay, so same scenario. You're sitting at home, you smoke a joint, you're watching a movie. Police bust it. They grab you. They put they push you down on the ground really forcefully, kneel on your back, putting pressure on your sternum, And yeah. then they roughly cuff your hands behind your back, and then they fasten the cuffs so tight that they actually kind of cut into your wrist. Then yeah. they shove you in the back of the police car, all while calling you a really stupid stoner and that you're the scum of the earth and what have you. Don't put your seatbelt on, so you're rattling around. And then you kind of jump into the cells. You stay there for a couple of hours. You're bored. You're hungry. You're kind of tired. You're about to go to bed at this time. That sort of thing. Then they process you. They give you your fingerprints, and then they interrogate you. They tell you to admit things. You know, where did you get it? And have you sold to anybody before? And try to insinuate that you're some kind of criminal or evil person. Then you spend a few more hours in the cells with no clock on the wall. Time seems endless. Like sensory deprivation. Meanwhile, you hear the police down the hall laughing their asses off and going, "Ha! Ah, we busted this super scum stoner. Isn't he dumb?" And then yes. you get let out, and it's like in the middle of the morning or something like that. You have to stay overnight, and you got to figure out how the hell do I get home? You know, I've got to catch a taxi or something. It's a little bit more expense, and then I get home, and then I go to bed, and I've got to go to court the next day. So. What caused more harm to you? Was it scenario A or yeah. scenario B?
Yeah. Definitely scenario B caused heaps more harm. And it can put your job at risk as well. You know, see, there's quite a few people in New Zealand are sort of losing their jobs because they're doing the urine testing here to see if anyone's used cannabis in the last couple of months or been near anyone that used cannabis. And they can lose their jobs for that. And what's happening is they're losing their jobs. But it's also the domestic violence is increasing because cannabis is one of the best cures for domestic violence, apart from counselling and working through your problems. But if people can't smoke cannabis, then they tend to drink more alcohol, and then domestic violence figures are just going up and up. So one of the best ways to stop that is just sit down, go down the back and have a little smoke and chill out. But, you know, like you say, Vinny, it's just getting that hard to do that now, you know. Pretty sad.
Yeah. And this is the thing, people don't respect others' personal space anymore, and yet they want total privacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They think it's perfectly justifiable.
It's pretty much gone now, isn't it?
Do you remember back when I said, you know, if you know anybody who smokes cannabis, raise your hand. If you want to see any of them arrested, raise your hand. Well, I said that to a crowd of people at a cafe once. Yeah. Up on the microphone, and one guy says, "Yeah, I think somebody should be arrested. You." And I go, "Okay, sir. Well, here's the thing. Every single person in this cafe who didn't raise their hand disagrees with you.
Yeah.
And you are the only person in this whole cafe who the law agrees with."
Yeah. Yeah. I was handing out flyers the other day at the mall, and I said to this guy, "Oh, we'd like a flyer about, you know, cannabis law reform." And he turns around and he says, "All those bloody cannabis users, they should all be lined up and shot." I'm going, I just moved on. I didn't want to talk to him anymore, you know. But I just thought, well, what a horrible thing to say, you know. You know, he's probably got kids and relatives and stuff and people that he knows that smoke cannabis as well. And to want, you know, people doing something that's non-violent and it's not hurting anybody, and to want to kill them for doing that, it's totally out of whack. You know, I was thinking, man, you know, I wouldn't want to be living with you if you're going to kill somebody just for smoking cannabis. It's over the top.
Well, it's like, you know how some people get really irritated at some girly girl or whatever who dots her eyes with a little heart, you know?
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
actually want to kill that chick because she dots her eyes with
excuse
a heart.
Excuse me, girlfriend, I do that.
Yeah, well, we don't want to kill you for it. We think it's lovely. Yeah.
Well, see, this is what we're talking about. Everybody's angry about stuff that doesn't matter, and they're blasé about stuff that does matter. Okay, like we've got this whole really messed up topsy-turvy situation, and what people don't realize is that there is a real human cost to this. Okay, people are suffering and dying not because of the weed, but because of the things that happen to them because they've got a little bit of weed and somebody else is an ignoramus scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's cause and effect, ladies and gentlemen, not effect and cause.
Yeah.
And let's think about the gateway drug. effect. They say that cannabis is a gateway drug. Well, look at this. 85% of cannabis users in the United States only use cannabis. Yeah. And the only reason why there's even a black market for a lot of these other harder substances to the size and degree it is because dealers can lure people in who normally just have their cannabis and then offer them something else. That's also illegal, hence on the same basic market plane. Oh, have you done this?
Can I jump in here for just a minute? When I was in the Army, I couldn't utilize cannabis. And, of course, it frustrated me. I was also stationed in Germany and at a nuclear missile site. And so they did a lot of urinalysis testing. So there was really no way around it. And I can honestly tell you that those of us who were normally cannabis smokers suddenly became not just drinkers, but alcoholics. We did not, first of all, know our limits. And we secondly just didn't care because we were trying to reach the same kind of buzz that you get when you get from smoking a joint. Now, as soon as I got out of the military, and I mean as soon as I got out of the military, the very day I got out, I got a bag of herb. And that very day was the last day I ever touched liquor. Since that time, I've only had like 3 beers because I get such a nice buzz from marijuana. I'm very content and happy with it. That to waste my money on liquor is just that, a waste. And I'm very content with the I'm able to function while I'm on marijuana. I'm able to drive. I'm able to be nice to people. And I'm able to make rational decisions as to who I fall in bed with when I'm high. But when I'm drunk, I can't do any of those things correctly.
No.
Now, there's another point to be made here as well, is different tolerances. Because I know people that have smoked pot, having nothing else, but having a really, really bad reaction to it. And I was wondering, but when they drink, they're perfectly fine. They're always responsible, always happy. They never drive too drunk or anything like that. They might have a beer while they're driving or something of that nature, but they're not pissed. They're taking responsibility, right? But when they're on weed, man, they're just totally off the wall, going nuts all over the place. And it's just like, dude, you need to stay off the pot and have another beer, man. So some people have got different tolerances. Some people have multi-tolerances. Like I've known people who have been, tripping balls on acid and ecstasy and alcohol and weed and caffeine and mixing up with a little bit of snorted Ritalin at the same time, and they're fine.
I know, but I'm like you. Pick one for the night and stay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's got their own pace and their own limits and their own tolerances and also what they're prepared to do. And what the law does, I find, is it arbitrarily says this group of people here who do anything outside of the alcohol, caffeine, and tobacco cartels is an evil, bad, bad person, and we must hate them and destroy their lives and prevent them from getting work and prevent them from actually doing what they're comfortable with, right? We need to arbitrarily do that just because we don't want it for XYZ reason, financial, pharmaceutical, political. Have you noticed how drug policy is surprisingly small portion of the U.S. national budget and expenditure? Okay, it's like $134 billion or something out of $2 trillion. It's relative. Oh no, I think it might have even been like a couple of billion, even like $30 billion or whatever. Really small by comparison to everything, and yet politicians will come out and campaign on drug policy and get a huge amount of votes out of it because there's a real good brainwashing campaign that was instilled and is still being deployed to this day to demonize cannabis smokers and any other drug user as an evil, bad person. Ergo, anybody who comes on the election platform that says, I'm going to get those filthy, evil, bad people with dreadlocks, everybody goes, yeah, vote for them and please take our rights. Sure enough, they wind up in a frickin' police state, but nobody's on pot anymore. Isn't that happy? Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It doesn't even work that way, because you can't get rid of it. Just like you can't get rid of weeds out of your garden. That's why they call it weed, because it grows everywhere, man.
Yeah. And you can't get rid of it, because we actually need it. If I could get something from the doctor that would work for me, Vinny, then I'd just go and do that. It would save me heaps and heaps of grief, I'd be happy with that. But I can't do that. That's what I've been talking about earlier, the side effects of some of these medications is just absolutely lethal. And you can just, have a smoke or, eat a bit of the oil or something like that, and I'm in a happy place, you know, and my body feels good, and, you know, everything's calm and relaxed around the place, and everybody's happy, you know, but, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, wish it could happen. Wish it could happen legally.
Well, and this is the thing. The law doesn't work. Okay, so anybody who's a problem solver looks at something that doesn't work and then starts doing something else, right? But everybody who comes into the political spectrum with regard to the drugs, who starts talking about changing the laws and what have you, it, like last year, I think it was, during the election campaign in New Zealand, Don Brash, who is was at the time the leader of the ACT Party, you know, the broad coalition for the governing party of New Zealand called National, which is basically the Republican Party equivalent of this you know, New World Order crime syndicate we've got down here called the New Zealand government, or the Queen and Right of New Zealand.
You're such a cynic.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Vinny cynics, a Vinnick. Yeah,
accurate though.
Well, yeah, and he came out and said, I think we should do away with cannabis prohibition from a libertarian-esque party standpoint. And the amount of things that came out attacking his character is a direct result of saying that absolutely logical and sensible thing from all of the juxtaposing media that we have in this country. There were even articles in the Chinese Times in central Auckland having a go at him. Like, they even made a new name for him. Like, he got a new nickname for coming out for cannabis legalization. Instead of calling him Don Brash, they called him Bong Hash.
Oh, really? That's incredible, eh? and I remember making that press release, and it was a very accurate press release, and we just had all the recommendations from the Law Commission saying that they needed to be changed, and that was a big study, you know, an evidence-based study, and I thought that would have pulled a few people around. And then Don Brash comes out with that, and I thought, oh, this will be good, you know, this will get a bit more, a few more people, you know, opening up their minds to, you know, the benefits of cannabis. But like you're saying, there was a big media attack on him.
Well, I got news for you all. I'm sitting here in the media right now, and I'm enjoying the benefits of cannabis with my buddies. I'm sitting here smoking a big bud with my buds and passing it back and forth.
Oh, good
idea,
mate.
Well, it's the way it should be done. Have you ever noticed it? I've got this saying, weed, it brings people together. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The caller number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Back in a minute.